Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house on this fourth Sunday of Advent. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it down the road to your neighbors. If this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you. And we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church after our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do stop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We're grateful for the contributions of all the poinsettias that you see up here this morning. There's a listing of those folks for whom the poinsettias were given in memory or in honor of. That's inside this morning's bulletin. You may take your poinsettia home after the 7 o'clock service tomorrow evening, so you're welcome to come up and take one then. Please plan to attend one of our Christmas Eve services tomorrow, one or both, actually. At the 5 o'clock service, our children, with the assistance of parents and other adults, will be adorning our tree with chrismons as we understand the meaning of each of the Christian symbols. And in the 7 o'clock service will be a traditional candlelight service with an emphasis on the 200th anniversary of the Christmas carol Silent Night and the stories behind other familiar Christmas carols that we'll enjoy singing during the service. Please remember to pick up your giving envelopes for 2019. They're on a table back in the foyer. There is also a few extra sets if you wish to use them, but we're not on the initial list. Also, please read through the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the warmth tree, the food pantry drive, Christmas card, and other ministries and events in the life of our congregation. Today we're also receiving our Christmas offering, which supports the greater Kansas City region of the Christian Church. There's a flyer and offering envelope inside the bulletin this morning. Do we have any other announcements? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Our God is merciful and tender.
He will
and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. Let us sing hymn number 148, stanzas 1 and 4.
Faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come me to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born for our salvation. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Let me bow in a moment of prayer. O Lord, as we begin our worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we reflect on the joy that has been felt for centuries because of the birth of the Christ child, the shepherds who saw the heavenly host, and the magi who followed the star. May our joy, too, be completed in Christ, as it was for his disciples during their Last Supper, and as we know it to be your desire, too, for each of us to have the fullness of joy through Christ who strengthens us. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning.
Trying to capture joy is similar to our desperate attempts to catch a fly by wildly reaching out and grasping with our hand towards a fleeting buzz. All we often find in our clenched fist is empty air. For time and again, we chase after a myriad of entertainment venues, social gatherings, and the acquisition of things, believing we'll experience joy, only to end up in disappointment. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we light all four weekly candles of the wreath, we realize that the experience of profound joy actually comes so simply by being in the presence of our gracious God and Christ our Lord. For as Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 14, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We celebrate, as I think the Jacobo children, as well as Phil and Joy, are going to be helping to light the candles this morning. God bless you all, and thank you.
Focusing on the Advent candle wreath, we began by lighting the first three weekly candles symbolized this year as the candle of waiting, expectation, and faithfulness. Now may we focus our attention on the fourth candle, which this year we are calling the candle of joy.
What overflowing joy must have filled the hearts of the shepherds when they saw the heavenly host and heard that the promised Messiah had been born. This same joy has filled the hearts of generations, and today it fills our very being as the presence of the Christ child lets us all know that God genuinely desires to be fully in the lives of every one of us, his children. For as Christ our Lord reminded his disciples at the Last Supper that their joy was complete in him, we affirm today that our joy is also complete as we embrace the presence of Christ within us.
One carefully, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night, our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise.
All right, time for the kiddos to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. We got to kind of squish in a little bit today. That's okay. That's right. And here she comes. Come sit down, sweetie. See what I have here? It's a present. It's kind of a sad little present. It doesn't have sparkly paper on it. It doesn't have a big fancy bow. And it's a little tattered, a little torn. But then I've had this present for more than 30 years, so it's kind of no wonder it's a little tattered and torn. And this is a present that my mom and dad gave me. And I'm going to read a little something for you, because of all the gifts that my parents ever got me, this one is my favorite. Can we leave the flowers alone, please? Leave the flowers alone. Thank you. Okay. This is a very special gift that you can never see. It's just for you from me. Whenever you are lonely or even feeling blue, you only have to hold this gift and know I think of you. You never can unwrap it. Please leave the ribbon tied. Just hold the box close to your heart. It's filled with love inside. Do you see why this is my favorite gift? This gift every year for the last 30 plus years is always the first gift under my tree. And because it reminds me of my parents who have been gone for a long time, but it also reminds me of the very first Christmas gift given to us. Do we know what that was? That's right. God's love. God sent his love to us by sending us Jesus for us to always have close to our hearts, just like this little box is close to my heart and is filled with love. Jesus stays close to our heart and fills us with love. Can we have a little prayer? All right. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the love that you sent to us when you sent him to us. Help us to always remember on Christmas Day and all year long to share Jesus' love with everyone we meet. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer today, we want to especially lift up Dottie Olson, as I understand she was involved in an automobile accident on Friday evening. Been trying to get in touch with her without much success, but we will try to see what additional information we can find as we go forward. Our sympathies extended to Helena Edwards, with the loss of her daughter, Mary, this past week. We want to lift up Jerry Chester's cousin, Ben, who has been dealing with a concern with pneumonia. And we lift up Helen Kirby and rejoice in the fact that she's home now from the hospital. Juanita Wyckoff is now at Newmark. And we lift up Michelle Jacobo as she is now home and continuing to heal from the surgery and anticipating a step forward with the chemotherapy and the weeks ahead. As we continue also to remember John and Dorinda Hoke, Betty Barnes, we want to lift up that Hannah Stark, the mother of Klaus Stark, died last evening at their home in Hutchison. So please remember Klaus and Connie in your prayers as they are down in Kansas there with the family. And Perla Mora's nieces, Tina, Kathy, and Michelle are in our prayers, and we continue to remember Alan and Carolyn Pipp's granddaughter, Emily. So with all of these people and certainly others in our prayers today, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. God of grace and God of glory, into your house we humbly assemble this Sunday before Christmas as we rejoice in the privilege to celebrate the arrival of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is with eager anticipation that we await Christmas Day, not only to pause from our daily activities and enjoy the fellowship of loved ones and friends, but because it is our privilege to symbolically gaze upon the Christ child in the manger and to be in awe of the simple truth that you chose to dwell among us as one of us in the form of a newborn child. For as the prophet foretold centuries ago in Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And as we gaze upon the Christ child, we consider the great measures of hopefulness that are fulfilled in your presence with us. The lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, and the broken shall be mended. And as we strive to carry forth the Christmas spirit long after this coming Tuesday, the 25th of December, we pray that our deeds and actions may carry forth a renewal of the gospel message by what we do and say. Guide us this new week, O God, as we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, and as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Enjoy, we thank you for coming forward for the reading of God's word.
This morning's scripture reading can be found in Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, in your pew Bible on page 935. In those days, a decree went out from Imperator Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
During our time of communion, Gail Gentry will be presenting Mark Hayes' version of Away in a Manger as a special for us, but we are going to be repeating this song as we're going to be singing it as our communion hymn as well. That was intentional on my part because I believe that many of us need to know the background that is behind this very precious Christmas carol that we sing during this season. Like so many other Christmas carols, Away in a Manger was written to inspire children to experience Jesus, and in this case, through a very simple lyrical form. Many traditions have attributed Away in the Manger to Martin Luther, but documented facts tell us now that it is actually an American-born carol that is the oldest, with the oldest known version being published in 1885, with only two stanzas in it. It was actually published in a German Lutheran book for children titled Little Children's Book for Schools and Families. Imagine that. A song about the birth of the Christ child in a school book. It was not only used in Sunday schools, it was used in schools as well. But a third stanza was added in 1892 by Charles Gabriel, a gospel composer who felt that the original two-stanza narrative also needed a verse that offered a simple prayer for all dear children to come close to God. And so, this morning, as we sing all three verses, may we as God's dear children especially feel close to God as we receive the elements of the bread and the cup of the Lord's table.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this table on the last day, last Sunday of Advent, where we have the love and the joy and the hope and the peace that comes through this Advent season. As we take this loaf and we take this cup, we ask your blessing upon it, that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can show others with around us and that we come in contact with how much love you have for us and for them. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Little Lord Jesus, lay
receive our offering this morning, we are mindful that in the bulletin is a flyer as well as an envelope for the Christmas offering, which is directed to, in our case, the Greater Kansas City region, supporting our regional minister and staff, and the search and call process, as well as a multitude of other ministries that we share in common with the 80-plus other disciple churches throughout our region. So may we give generously as we are led in prayer this morning and as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Dear God, we're so grateful to be here today to bring our tithes and our offerings because we love you, because we love this church, and because we love helping those in need. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it seems that the gift that Carrie received from the children at the school where she teaches was a head cold. So that's why she is not here this morning, because we didn't need for her to re-gift it to any of you. And certainly I told her, I said, please stay away. I mean, the last thing I need is to have a head cold about right now, right in the midst of all of our services. So we're kind of keeping our distance. We got a big enough house, you know, I can kind of huddle in my own little spot and we'll do just fine. But anyway, keep her in your prayers, and certainly a number of other people we know that are dealing with some of these things that go around this time of year. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season. We celebrate not only the candle of joy of the Advent wreath, but we celebrate the great joy that can dwell within us as we experience Christ in us. It's in his name that we give thanks. Amen. All through the last 3 weeks, I've been lifting up this concept of great joy, the great joy experienced by those people who had a firsthand account of the presence of the Christ child. And I'm actually going to carry that beyond this Sunday to next Sunday, maybe even a little bit further, still talking about people who had firsthand experience with the infant Jesus. So, as you're reading your Bible, you might begin to kind of wonder, who is it that I could be talking about after Jesus' birth? People who had a firsthand experience with the birth and the presence of this infant, the Christ child. Think about that. And come next Sunday. See, that's an excuse to be here. You know, I noticed this morning at the first service, and I noticed also for this service, a lot of red in the service. I thought, oh, that must be because it is, you know, the Sunday before Christmas. And then I realized for many of you, it's just because the other people in red is who? The Chiefs. Yeah, in fact, one person had a jacket on, and I could notice that underneath the jacket, of course, was the little Chiefs emblem, you know. So I thought, that's not for Christmas. That's for the game this afternoon, right? So you all decide why you're wearing red today, whether it's for Jesus or for the Chiefs. You decide. But, you know, as we think about this experience of great joy, we've already talked about Elizabeth and Mary, the ones who played the great roles of bringing forth that messianic hope to the Jewish people. We talked about the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. Although they were marginalized in their society, yet God chose for them to be the ones to be the recipients of the news of the birth of the Christ child as they cared for the sheep that were the ones used for the sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. Last week we spoke about Zechariah and his wife, of course, Elizabeth, a priest of the Levitical clan. He and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist and were the ones who were filled with such great joy, for they were privileged to be a part of the journey in which the forerunner would come, their son, who would prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, with this last Sunday of Advent, have you given much thought as to how the experience might have been for you if you could have been among those people to experience the birth of the child, Christ? And have you ever wondered, of all the ways that God could have chosen to make his presence known in a physical way here on earth, why did he choose the birth of a child? God in his omnipotence, God in his great power and authority could have come in a spectacular way if he had chosen to. But instead, he came in the form of an infant, dependent upon the watchful care of frail human beings, mother and father, Joseph and Mary. Why did God choose this way of all ways to come into the world? I think the reason why he chose this way is because even for you and me, as we experience various things throughout life, certainly there probably is nothing that compares to the scale of experiencing the birth of a child. Now, for you, that may have been your own child, may have been a grandchild, may have been several of your own children, maybe several grandchildren, maybe at this point even great-grandchildren, or maybe it's been the birth of a neighbor's child or the birth of an infant, of a dear close friend of yours. But whatever the experience has been for you, I would venture to guess that experience has probably been one of those events in which it seemed like time stood still as you simply paused and gazed upon the presence and the wonder of the birth of this child before you. You know, I can remember when Jonathan was very little, his head fit right here. And his feet stopped right there. I still remember it vivid as if it was yesterday, holding Jonathan right there, all wrapped up, you know. Any other fathers? Any of you remember that like me? Oh, I still have a very precious memory. One of my most precious photos, two. One is one of Jonathan. I'm tired. I've had long nights here lately, guys. Bear with me. Jonathan, you know, all wrapped up in his stuff, and it was when he was first born, absolutely the first day. I've got that picture in our bedroom. Another picture that's actually very precious to me is actually Carrie holding Jonathan as he was starting to walk. And the background is actually an old roadside stop in Texas. The background is nothing, but here he is. He's just trying to get up there, get going and walking as Carrie was supporting him. Precious in my mind, in my consciousness. I still remember both events, even though I have pictures. Remember, whether it's been a few decades ago or whether it has been just recently, I bet you remember the time when you experienced the presence of these infants in your life. And as you were there gazing upon the child, I bet you may have said to others, "Oh, she sleeps so well. Look, she has such a calm nature, just like her mother." Or, "Oh, look, he smiles so easily. I bet he'll be a fun-loving person, just like his father." Or, "You know, she has such lovely hair just like her grandmother on her mother's side." You laugh. None of those fit, right? Maybe none of those fit. But I bet there are some traits, some characteristics that you have commented to one another about. The presence of infants in your family. Now I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to imagine all of us gathering around that manger scene. And you know, so many nativity scenes like what we have over here, they show Mary kind of standing over here, one spot, looking over the manger, and of course Joseph over on the other side. To me, that doesn't quite fit. I bet you that Mary just couldn't let that child go. I bet she had him scooped up and was holding on to him. Don't you know? I know that was the case for us. We're not going to leave the child lying here. No, pick that child up and make that child a part of your life, right? But even in the midst of holding that child, imagine the things we could talk about how Jesus is so much like God. Jesus says of himself in John chapter 6, verse 38, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father." And in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And of course, as Jesus began to grow up, not only through his childhood, but certainly through his adulthood, time and time and time again, we see what those characteristics, those qualities of God shining forth in everything he did, everything he said, even in those teen years, you know, when he was at the temple, that studious nature of his of wanting to know what the Word of God was like, surely all of that was revealing that how much he was like God. In Jesus, we see God's great love, for in John chapter 15, "Just as my Father loved me, I have loved you also." Or in Matthew chapter 20, we see Jesus' compassion, where he heals the two blind men, even though the people in the crowd were scolding them and telling them to be quiet. And we see Jesus' great justice in Matthew chapter 21, where he goes through the temple and he upturns the money changers' tables and lets the animals go, for he says, "You have made my house a den of thieves, but this is to be the house of God." And of course, we see God's great joy in Jesus. As Jesus said in John chapter 15, as he was closing up that Last Supper, I have told you all these things. In other words, I've been here with you. I've made this journey with you and taught you all these things so that your joy may be what? Complete. Complete. So you see, Christmas Day is coming soon. And I ask you, will you pause at the nativity scene? Will you gaze upon the Christ child? Will you feel that great joy that God wants you to feel as you understand God through Christ, our Lord? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 144, let us sing stanzas 1 and 4 of O Little Town of Bethlehem. May we stand and sing 144.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our God Emmanuel.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, we want to remind you, tomorrow night, two different Christmas Eve services. One, the 5 o'clock service, in which our children will be coming forward to adorn the tree with brand new chrismons that we've made this year. And the meaning behind each symbol will be described as we are bringing those symbols forward. So that's one service where you get to learn something new about chrismons. I've had so many people, as I've mentioned that to them, they say, what's a chrismon? If you don't know, come tomorrow at 5 and you'll know. And then, of course, at 7 o'clock, this year, this Christmas Eve, is actually the 200th anniversary of the first singing of Silent Night. So we're going to certainly celebrate that, and our choir is going to assist with the singing of Silent Night. That's going to be a wonderful experience. But additionally, because of that celebration, the rest of the service will not only be singing some very familiar Christmas carols, all verses instead of one or two, but we will learn the stories behind those carols that we sing. So I think that'll be another special service at 7 o'clock. So you can come to both, and you'll learn something new at each service, right? So unless you're really, really, really busy, you have plenty of opportunity to join us, and hope you will. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, as we depart, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house this fourth Sunday of Advent. Guide us as we depart and journey forward as we seek your glory and purposes. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, oh, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.